Well, let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 45. Some of you, this might be your first sermon to hear in this series. It's a unique thing for me to get to do. We will continue in this Old Testament series on men God made. Examples for us. This is number 4 in our series. So far we've looked at a defining moment in the life of these men. And particularly we've looked at a defining moment in the 3 patriarchs. We looked at Abraham when he went to offer up his son Isaac. We looked at Isaac when he brought his son in and blessed Jacob and then pronounced a blessing even on Esau, even though there had been this trickery and this switch. But we looked at Isaac and had particularly his prayer for his sons. And then last week we looked at the life of Jacob. Jacob was facing what appeared to be certain death with his brother Esau coming with men. And Jacob cried out to God. He had this tremendous petition. O Lord God, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and truth which you've shown unto your servant. So those 3 men, the consistent reality in each of these men was what? The hand of God upon them. That's the constant. That's the real event of all, is the hand of God. These men, meaning the ones I've just mentioned, and their events of their life, showed forth the glory of God. Undeniable. And yes, you think about these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Throughout the world today, languages and places all over the world today, people will read in Genesis the stories of Abraham and Isaac and onward. They'll read these stories in the Bible and they'll stand in awe of God's hand upon those men. Right? We do. So this brings us to our next man in God's redemptive plan. Joseph. This is number 4. Joseph. Ah, yes. The man Joseph. I'd have to say that he has been for many decades my favorite Old Testament character or man. You children know about Joseph? You know about Joseph? How many of you kids, how many of you children remember the story about Joseph? He had a bunch of brothers. How many of the children remember that? Yeah. What did his dad give him? A coat of many colors. And thus began a whole series of events. What an amazing life, right? What an amazing journey he went on. And what a great God he had, the God that we have, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when I was a boy, look at some of these children's ages, and when I was with my dad and brother one time, we watched a 2-part movie, this is 40 years ago or more, on the life of Joseph. It was captivating to me. I mean, I just couldn't believe this story. He makes it to Egypt. His brothers have to come see him. They don't know who he is. It was just absolutely captivating, and it still is. I've just been reading through this story of Joseph. His life journey or his life experiences were not the norm, were they? Hardly. Hardly. From the year 17 to the year till age 30, just that block of time, Joseph dealt with family rejection, sibling betrayal. We're not just talking about brothers saying some bad words. They gave him over. They came within a hair of killing him, and they didn't. Sibling betrayal. He was sold as a slave in Egypt. He lived in a pagan land. Probably not one Christian in Egypt. Maybe not. He was falsely accused. Therefore, he was thrown in prison. And then he was forgotten. That's from age 17 to age 30. All these things are happening. Forgotten. that is forgotten by men, but not God. Not for a moment. Not for a moment. I mean, you think of what he went through, and God's with him in all of this. Do you struggle sometimes thinking God has forgotten about you? If we're going to be honest, we'd say, yes, I've faced those times. Middle of the night, sickness, troubled thoughts, through hard things with family, hard things in your work, hard things financially. Times that you feel like when David, as he would write, Lord, where are you? You've got to come. You've got to work. Do you struggle sometimes thinking God has forgotten about you? Well, He has not. He has not. The incredible, undeniable hand of God in every step of Joseph's life is a great encouragement to all Christians. Every step in your life, every event, every non-Christian that you encounter, that you know, that you deal with, every boss, every professor, instructor, yes, they are all under God's rule for your life. If you get that today, if you see the greatness of God towards you and towards His people, in that truth, you will have tremendous help today. It'll reestablish your thinking and your faith and your hope in God. So, but brothers and sisters, get hold of this. Get hold of this truth. The big picture of your life is in God's hand. The whole of it. The big picture of your life. That's the life of Joseph. And yes, God handles the details as well. Even the casting of the lot is of the Lord. So the big picture, all that's going on, all that's happening, God rules. So today let's do like we've done in the past. We'll take a quick look at the events that led up to Genesis chapter 45, which is where we're going to read out of today. But hold that spot. We're going to quickly get to that, catch up to that moment. Second, we're going to look at the event where Joseph finally reveals himself to his brothers. And lastly, we will apply some of these truths quickly to our lives. All right. If you want to, you can just scan the pages, but I'm just going to give you a quick overview to catch us up to Genesis 45. And it starts in Genesis 37. A proud father named Jacob shows favoritism to one of his sons, the son of Rachel, Joseph, that is, and he gives him a coat of many colors. Thus began a series of events, particularly with his brothers. Joseph has two dreams. His dreams are foreshadowing, prophetic for what's coming. They were symbolic. And he tells his brothers, and they despise him. You remember? Because the picture was, Joseph would be in a place of authority, and they would be subject to him. His brothers become angry when Joseph goes out to meet them one day in the field or out where they were. They take him. They were going to kill him, but they decided not to. They throw him into the pit. Before they can come back and check on him or do something with him, it happened that a Midianite herdsmen or men traveling come by, find Joseph, take him out, and take him to Egypt and sell him as a slave. That's chapter 37. So now, a 17-year-old is now in Egypt, is sold as a slave. Chapter 39. Skip over to chapter 39. Joseph is now in Potiphar's house. He was a wealthy man, a man of authority in Egypt. Potiphar's wife tries to tempt Joseph to cause him to sin. But Joseph walks honorably. He will not sin in this way. And he is falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. No evidence that there was even a trial. Potiphar had him thrown into prison. Look in chapter 39. Three times it says, the Lord was with Joseph. Look at verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. This is when he's in Egypt. Look down to verse 21. This is in the whole event with him being falsely accused. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. And then now he's in jail. Falsely accused. Thrown into jail. Forgotten. Verse 23. The Lord was with him. Powerful, isn't it? So now Joseph, as a teenager, is in prison in Egypt. Nobody to speak for him. Chapter 40. Joseph meets a butler and a baker. Y'all talk about these random people you meet, right? Just met so-and-so. Just happened to meet so-and-so. A butler and a baker. Both had made the Pharaoh angry. They both had been put into prison. They have dreams. Joseph is the man that says, God can show me the interpretation. So they said to him in verse 8, we have dreamed a dream and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? I mean, Joseph, all the way through his life in these key events, is dealing with dreams, God speaking. You remember the story? He tells the butler and he tells the baker what's going to happen. What happens to the butler? He's restored to Pharaoh's table, right? What happens to the baker? His head cut off, basically his life. Just as the dreams had been given and Joseph, because of God's interpretation, are giving it to him. And he tells them, remember me, tells the butler, remember me. What happens? Butler gets restored. What about Joseph? Not a word. Not a word. Chapter 41. 2 years later. You think you've gotten a raw deal lately? This week, some businessman, some boss, or some person that has the ability to make it tough on you. Remember Joseph. 2 years later, Pharaoh has two very troubling dreams. And the butler, oh yeah, I remember this guy in jail. So Pharaoh's magicians and others, they can't figure these things out. Interpretations come from God. So they go and get Joseph, take him out of prison, bring him to Pharaoh. He tells Pharaoh the same thing. God can give this. So Joseph nails it, tells him exactly what's going to happen. The dreams were about what? Children, y'all remember? What were those dreams about? Famine. 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of famine. So what are you going to do in the 7 years of plenty? You better save up. You better store your food. You better make preparation. Because 7 years of drastic hard famine is coming. Pharaoh says, you know, Joseph, I think you're the man to organize this. In the same day, he goes from prison to second in command. What a story. What clear marks of the hand of God on his life. So now he's second in command. He begins to organize, saving the food, preparing for the famine. Chapter 42. The famine becomes so severe that it's throughout the land. It goes way beyond Egypt. Jacob. Now we go back to, what about those betraying brothers and their dad? Jacob says, well, we're just going to sit here and die because we're going to run out of food? Arise, go to Egypt, get us some food. I heard they have corn. So they come into Egypt. Joseph, of course, wears the dress code of the Egyptians and he's in authority. They meet him, though they don't know they meet him. He knows them. He begins to ask them questions. Tell me about yourselves. How is your father? He's getting information. Joseph then incredibly thinks, I'm keeping Simeon here as collateral. You go back, and when you come back for more, you bring that younger brother Benjamin, the other daughter by Rachel. So now Simeon is in prison. They go back. They tell their father, why did you tell them about me and your younger brother Benjamin? What are you doing? What did he ask us to? Chapter 43, the famine gets worse. They run out of supplies. Jacob reluctantly sends all of his sons back to Egypt and they have to take Benjamin, right? That man that's in charge is not going to see us and he's not going to provide us food, and Simeon's not getting out of jail unless we bring Benjamin. They go back. Joseph sees Benjamin, and he's overcome with emotion. Remember? He has to dismiss himself to go out and go to his chamber and cry. It's so overwhelming to him, this whole thing. And he hosts them for dinner. He says, you're going to my house tonight for dinner. chapter 44. Joseph has his... Joseph is going to send them away, which they're going to go back with supplies. And Joseph has his servants put his silver cup, Joseph's silver cup, put it in Benjamin's bag. Remember that? So, now we have 11 brothers leaving Egypt on their way back to be with their father. And then Joseph says, all right, they're far enough out now. Go get them. And tell them, somebody took my silver cup. They go, they stop them. They say to the men, why would you treat him that way? You took his silver cup. And they say, we wouldn't do a thing like that. Whoever has taken that will be, well, can be his slave forever. Started with the oldest, going through the bags. Come to Benjamin's bag, the last of the boys, and there's the silver cup. You read in the text there. They grab their clothes. Oh, it's our brother. We can't do this. Don't you think they're thinking, oh, we shouldn't have treated our other brother this way? The whole thing is setting up for this glorious event. Joseph's going to get even, right? Slam him into the slammer. I'm the big guy in Egypt. Hardly. So now they go back to Joseph. They tell him that it was in Benjamin's bag, and they're desperate. And Judah says, can I just speak with you? I've got a father. He had a special son. His son was killed. It's Joseph he's talking about, right? This is our younger brother. This is the most precious one to our dad. You can't let him. You can't keep him. You keep me. You can't take Benjamin. Our father will die. Joseph is listening to all of this. That sets it up. That gets us caught up to where the event is. Now, go to chapter 45. The scene of Joseph now going to say what he's going to say to his brothers. Verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood, meaning all of his servants, all the Egyptians that were a part of tending to things, send them all out. I just want to be with them. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brothers. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh could hear this. They heard this weeping. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brothers, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years left, in the which there shall neither be bearing nor harvest, earing or harvest. And God sent me before you, look at this, saints, to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord over all of Egypt. Come down to me and tarry not. We'll stop there. Just a nice little boring story in the Bible, right? Hardly. All over the earth today, the God of Joseph is exalting His name, just like He did here. This story, these events have such awesome lessons and truth for all of us. There are a lot of emotional scenes in the Bible, these coming together. But certainly this scene of Joseph with his brothers ranks way up there, doesn't it? The emotion in this chapter, what happens here? Listen to this. Joseph knows them. They don't know him. Joseph has power to do with them as he wants. They don't have any power. Joseph can finally get even with them. They are finally exposed for who they are. And yet, children, listen to this. Children, when your brothers and sisters do you wrong, when somebody else does you wrong, when you're frustrated and when you're angry, I want you children to hear me today. I want you to hear this. You are not to get even. Look here. Look what Joseph says to his brothers. Wow, you talk about seeing the bigger picture that God's in it. Oh, this is huge. I want us to see and note four major truths, four things that Joseph says to his brothers. They're for us. I have an older brother. I have a younger sister. I grew up with siblings. I grew up frustrated, angry. I've worked with people that are frustrating. I've worked with, been around people at all different levels in college and out of college and at work and in society as a whole. You're around people. How do you conduct yourself? Do you see the bigger picture of what God's doing? Joseph did. He's four things here that are, number one, Joseph says, God purposed me here. You want to use the word planned. God purposed me here. Look at verse 5. Second part of verse 5. For God did send me before you. Look at verse 7. And God sent me before you. Look at verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. God sent me. God planned it. God purposed me here. That's what Joseph says. He is basically saying to his brothers, my whole ordeal of betrayal that I went through, the whole ordeal of it, was to get me here. Wow. I'm here for you. He says to these rotten, selfish, envious brothers, I'm here for you guys. I'm here for us. I'm here for our Father. I'm here for our people. God purposed it. All the hard things, all the difficulties. I'm here because God has something bigger He's doing. Big, lasting things He's doing. Brother Matthew Henry said, God's people is the particular cause of God's providence. That's a big statement, isn't it? God's people is the particular cause of God's providence. We might say, even more than that, God's name or His purpose, His glory. But God's people, when He's ordering providence, He's ruling for His name and for His people. I mean, how do you become the second in command in Egypt? You come there as a teenager. You don't know anything about their systems. He comes as a teenager. How does a Hebrew... He's a Hebrew. An Egyptian wouldn't even sit at the same table and eat with a Hebrew. When Joseph has them over for dinner, they have to separate them. Joseph eats at one table and his 11 brothers eat at another table. Do you read that? How do you become the second in command in Egypt? God. That's what he's saying to them. God sent me. God's put me here. Saints, forget the schemes and power moves of men. It's all around us. I mean, it's every day. It's in our state government. It's in the national government. It's in corporate America. It's in high school football. It's in politics at every level. Politics are in hospitals and politics are in not-for-profit groups. Can you believe that? Yeah. There's not-for-profit groups that argue over pay, power moves, struggles. I just forget about it for a minute. God rules. I mean, He's got pharaohs through the history of the world. He's had kings and leaders at all levels throughout the history of the world for God's ultimate purpose. Just this week, major political events have occurred in our state and outside of our state. Big events, troubling events, events that concern us, events that ought to make us call out to God, do great things, magnify Your name, triumph gloriously. As men scheme and plan and do things at the House floor and at the congressional level, at the presidential level, different movements, different celebrations for things that people ought to be ashamed about. You get my drift? You hear what I'm saying? But saints, these are troubling events, but we need not despair. God is ruling. Like Joseph, we must trust God. We must trust God in our day that we would be faithful in what He has us to do. We may be in this room looking at a future congressman or a future governor or senator. Who knows what God has for your life, you boys and girls. God may do big things for you. Joseph put on his dad's coat of many colors, and just a few years later, he was second command in Egypt for the glory of God. You see this? God's purposed me here. He has the moment to get even with his brothers. You guys betrayed me. I'm the big dog now. I'm going to take it out on you. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that at all. He sees that there's a bigger story that God's unfolding. Can you imagine the shock those brothers felt? He says, I am Joseph. I am Joseph, your brother. They're all of them, down, even down to Benjamin. You're alive? You're here in Egypt? All of this is for us? We're here today. All this, we go back and forth, silver cups, money, who's our dad, all this stuff. All of this is for us? Yes. In a sense, Joseph dramatizes the event to bring them to the point where the ultimate expression of God's doing this for your good and all of our good. I mean, you just can't stop going backwards to the providence of God in it, right? God planned it. God purposed it. Connect the dots. Do you ever think of connect the dots? Any of these things fall through, the story changes. A coat of many colors. That was really the beginning of envy between those brothers, or hatred. Two amazing dreams. Who are you? Even his dad. Joseph, you don't need to tell us stories like that. You think me and your mom are going to bow down to you? The dreams. Brothers who are then out and he has to go see them. They cast him into a pit. They didn't kill him. They came close. They thought about it. Cast him into a pit. Before they can get back and check on him, oh, it just happened. This group of men on their way to Egypt, they take him out and they take him into Egypt and sell him. You see where I'm going? All of these. God's purpose, these events. Did God create sin? Never. God rules over the plans of the heathen. The wrath of man shall praise him. You remember that? The remainder of wrath he shall restrain. Now he's in Potiphar's house. Not in Walter's house. He's in Potiphar's house. He has to be there. The whole sequence of events. Joseph is an honorable man. He's caring for everything Potiphar has. Potiphar didn't even know how much he had. Joseph was just managing it. And then Potiphar's wife, she factors into this story. She falsely accuses him. Gets him thrown into prison because of what she says. She slanders him. And then, as I said earlier, he meets a butler. He meets a baker. Saints, God's purposed it. He purposed the baker. He purposed the butler. He purposed Potiphar's house. He purposed the Midianite men who took him into Egypt. Oh, my brothers, God sent me here. He sent me here for you. All of this ends up bringing Joseph to be the man in charge in Egypt. All of this is God's purpose. Now, I suspect as I'm saying these things, you can't help but listen to this or think on this. And in your own life, do you not now start connecting the dots? Connecting, you know, things that happened. Michael Tolley just calls my house about 4 years ago, roughly. Just calls the house. Michael has been right here in this body faithfully for years now. He just happened to find the phone number, call, right? You see, there's no happening like that. Not just chance events. It wasn't just a chance event that the butler and the baker would have dreams and the butler would get promoted and the baker would be cut off. All of this is in God's economy, God's plan. Now listen to what David said, because I think it speaks to this very event. David said, King David I'm talking about, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Is that not true of Joseph? The steps of a good man, meaning one that God has as his child, a redeemed man or woman, his steps are ordered of the Lord. So often we just don't even feel like we know where we're going, right? God's in it. He's with us. So first, he purposed me here. Second, Joseph said, God preserved me here. A purpose is the planning. He's ruled over it. He's guided it. Preserving me. God's preserved me here. Look at verse 5 and look at verse 7. That's the word he uses. For God did send me before you to preserve life. This thing, there's something I'm about preserving me and preserving others. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. Verse 7. Preserving. Men had cheated Joseph. Men had cheated him all along the way, and yet God had preserved him. Men gave him a bad deal. God sustained and preserved him. You think about it. God preserved him in slavery. He didn't die. Joseph could have served for a man who was cruel, but God kept him. God preserved him after he was falsely accused. He's in prison. He didn't die. He had favor. The guy over the prisoner said, "You're the one. You're the one that has a right spirit. I'm going to let you guide the affairs here." He didn't die. He prospered in prison. Is that an oxymoron? You prosper in prison? Not with God. I'd say John Bunyan in his own way prospered in prison, did he not? I read a quote this week. Anybody remember who Chuck Colson was? Chuck Colson. Part of the Nixon Watergate deal. Part of that whole regime. And it went down. What did Chuck Colson have happen? He went to jail. He served hard time. Was converted, I think, genuinely converted in prison as a prisoner. And I read a quote this week while I'm studying the life of Joseph. And Chuck Colson said, "The first 6 months of my conversion in prison were so rich and glorious and blessed, they were greater than all of the great moments in the White House." Now that's a redemptive language. Being preserved. Joseph was preserved. He was preserved in slavery. He was preserved when he was falsely accused. He was preserved in prison. He was preserved under Pharaoh. He didn't die. Far from dying, he advanced. He gained ground. He became more influential, more powerful, more managing of tremendous resources. Yes, beloved, at any moment along the way, Joseph could have been killed. But you notice I said could have. Could have. He wasn't going to die. God's purpose wasn't finished with him yet. God doesn't deal in probabilities. God doesn't deal in probabilities. God deals in absolutes. He decrees the end from the beginning. I am that I am. We go back into, as he talked to Moses, as you remember, when we go and see Pharaoh in that time, who do we say is in us? I am that I am. I is. I is. I live. I am forever. I'm reigning now. I am that I am. There is no probabilities with God. That gives tremendous peace, does it not? He rules in perfect absolutes, guaranteed outcomes. Joseph's life was preserved for great things. So is yours. Preserved for great things. Mike and I know a man who lives here in town that's had an artificial heart, or whatever they call a mechanical heart, where he used to drag around all that equipment. Had that stuff loaded up. Godly man. Dear man. I remember him when I was much younger. And he had that device, was on his way to meet his grandsons at a Ranger game. And they called him from Baylor or whatever in Dallas. "We think we have a donor. We think we have a donor." He turns the car and heads east to go to Dallas. Now he has a heart transplant. His days are in God's hands. He's lost a son. He lives. He's lost friends, but he's still living. He'll say to you and I, God's not finished with me yet. I should have been gone a long time ago, but God has plans. God's purposed me. God's preserved me. That's what he would tell us. You children, listen to this. Brother Lee was telling you, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You children, look to God. Look to Jesus Christ. Let Him have your life. Let Him have your dreams. Let Him have all that you are. He'll order your steps. Look to Him. Joseph's life was preserved for great things. And so is ours. You remember the great quote by Stonewall Jackson? You got a lot of them, right? Southern general, the Southern Army. Stonewall Jackson was famous or was known for staying on his horse while he was directing his army, right? His men. During the battle, he'd stay on his horse, he's giving direction, he's speaking to them, bullets flying everywhere. General Jackson, why don't you come off the horse? Why don't you protect yourself? And he essentially said this, I'm as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bed. Because God holds my life. That's preservation. Joseph knew that not only had God purposed him there, He's preserved me. He's telling his brothers, I'm here, He's preserved me. I'm here for God's name, for His purpose. Third thing, I'll keep moving. God prospered me here. Now, note the significance of this in God's providence. They didn't just meet up with Joseph that he was a blacksmith. Yeah, he's one of the best blacksmiths in town. Or a cattle hand. Or a butler or a baker. You see the ramifications of this? He's running all of Egypt. Look at verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me here, but God. And He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Oh, for more men in our day, at different levels of society, authority, to say, none of this, like we talked about last week with Jacob, none of this I did, God did it. I'm a senator by the grace of God, and I ought to make decisions that honor God. Where are the men or the women that will speak that way? I make decisions as a judge. I make decisions as a governor. I make decisions as a school principal. Because God put me here. I'm faithful to God. I want to speak His truth. There are some things worth filibustering over, and there are some things that are not. Some things are shameful in the end, if you get what I'm saying. What are we battling for? What are we here for? The glory of God. Joseph used his place of authority for good. It's awesome, the reality of this. I said to somebody this week, the day after, I said, it's a sad thing when somebody gets lifted up that they filibuster over an issue that is so fundamentally wrong. Where's the glory of God in that? It's not. It's unbelievable. It's shocking for me to say it because we all know it's true. There are things worth defending, things worth advancing, things worth saying, this cannot be compromised on. But Joseph had the right view in mind. He knew that his prospering, his position, if I can put it that way, his position, his rank, had huge responsibilities to it. His prospering, dear ones, was not for his own namesake. His was for His God's namesake. You get that? Our place, wherever we are, whatever we're about, God puts us in that place for His namesake. It's not our kingdom. It's not our empire. It's not our thing that we have built. Joseph knew this. God prospered me. He says to his brothers, God's abundantly prospered me. Think of it. Joseph was the key man in providing for the needs of his people. Everything about the posterity or the continuation of Israel hinges on Joseph, right? Everything. And yet the famine that was apparently going to ruin them became the means to save them. Sometimes you have hard things you go through, things that redirect your life, things that you're not even sure where is this going. But you have to leave these things with God. You have to put them at His throne, that God would direct your steps, whatever those events, however sometimes they're up and down and unclear, not knowing what's ahead. You've got to rest or trust in God to rule for His name's sake. That He not only would preserve you, but He would prosper you or give you in the time for the need for His name's sake. And that's what Joseph says. The famine wouldn't ruin them. I'm here. I'm managing the greatest food storage program in the history of the world. I'm here. I'm in charge of it. Go tell my father. Bring him. Now here's the great truth for us in this one. God at times prospers His children for the advancement of His people. Let me say that again. God at times prospers His children for the advancement of His people, His church, His kingdom, His glory, however you want to say that, and not for the selfish ambition of building men's ministries. Oh man, that ought to shake the ground a little bit in our day. God prospers to advance His name in the care of His people, in the care of others, ministry to others, not for the empires of men. Enough of the buildings and the slick programs and the slick facilities and these sharp, glitzy, technology-based things. Oh, I mean, Joseph just had it right. God's going to preserve. God's going to minister to others. Do you anybody growing fresh fruits or vegetables this summer? Okay. You realize you have the chance, just something like that. You have the chance just to take of your bounty, if you will, and give it to others, minister to others. I saw recently somebody come through the building I was in, and they had fresh, I think it was squash and tomatoes or something like that. And they were passing them out, just giving them. Multiply that by a few million or billion, and you have Joseph. Billions, probably. And Joseph says, God sent me here, God's preserved me here, and God's prospered me to help you. Not so that I have a bunch of stuff, but to help you, to minister to you. This is huge. There's a sermon or two just in this point. God prospered Joseph, and this was to save all of Israel. It's a big one. Number four, He purposed him there, He preserved him there, He prospered him there. And lastly, God published. Yes, these are all four words with P's. God published His greatness in Joseph being there. Ultimately, this is the point. Ultimately. I said published. You could say proclaimed. God published His greatness in Joseph being there in Egypt. I mean, this is seen in the whole series of events, isn't it? When Joseph got to Potiphar's house, what happened fairly quickly? Potiphar said, this guy has God with him. I'm going to put him in charge. That's God publishing His name, right? I am the God of, but He's the great one. God's the great one. What about when he went to jail? Immediately, he had favor with the jailer. The jailer said, this man has God with him, essentially. That's what he said. I'm going to put you in charge of things. God had favor. God was with him. How about when he got to Pharaoh? Oh, he had to play the system, right? Had to work your way through the system. Just get you a new book, guys. Go to the airport or go to the book at Barnes & Noble this week. Get your latest Corporate America How You Climb the Ladder book. Garbage. There's so much of that, it's ad nauseum. As Christian men, our lives are His. Let Him order our steps for His glory and His timing. I mean, this is shocking. CEOs would be listening to Philip going, what's this guy talking about? I'm talking about the living God, the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who orders all things, the one who had Joseph, a Hebrew, a nobody, and put him in charge. God does it for His name's sake, for His glory. He gets to be at Pharaoh's house because he tells him a couple of dreams. You're the man. That's it? Yeah. You're in charge. You look down in the same chapter, 45, verse 16, and the fame, after this whole unveiling of Joseph with his brothers, him, his telling them, unfolding, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. Meaning, this publishing, this proclaiming Joseph's God, Joseph's people. Children, I'm speaking a lot to you today because I know this story on Joseph is so wonderful. And most of you know it. But the thing that Joseph did again here is that his life, he wanted his life to be a proclamation to others for God's glory. We here today, those that are redeemed, those that are in Jesus Christ, we want our lives to be for God's glory, right? We want Him to publish abroad the glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. Different days, different times, different places, same God, same end purpose. God to make His name great. Whatever you're about. Whatever you're about. In terms of your day-to-day life activities, God owns it. He's in it. He loves to make His name great. And for Him to do anything less, He would be holding it back, right? Piper's right. If God doesn't show it forth, then He would wrong us. He wants His glory, His name to be exalted. So the chief end of all that God does is to display His glory, to publish His greatness, and that's what He's doing in Egypt. So God used Joseph's life and being sent to Egypt for His name's sake. Amazing. Let me begin to wind down. You know how constant this truth is through the Scriptures? There's a man, some cases there's a woman of God in their generation, and God makes His name great. He just does. Think of this. Moses with Pharaoh. Right? Even God's Word says, for this reason I raised up Pharaoh to show My mighty name or My mighty works in Egypt. So Moses with Pharaoh. It's not about Moses, it's about the God of Moses. Joshua and Jericho. Joshua didn't tear those walls down, God did it. God made His name great. God caused the heathen to say, that's the real God. David with the Philistines. How dare you say the things you've said against the living God? Who are you, you giant Philistine? And David, that day, let God triumph through him. And then in other battles. Esther with Ahasuerus, or Haman, Esther, the whole line of the Israel people are going to be saved or going to be ruined or be killed. Esther was there for such a time as that for the glory of God. Elijah with the prophets of Baal. Y'all tell me when to stop, or if y'all want to get in on this, start raising your hand. Elijah with the prophets of Baal. What happened there? Why don't you call your God? See what they can do. Pour more water on that thing. Really? I mean, get more water on that wood. Your gods can't do it, can they? The living God went, it's gone. For His name's sake. You see that? Eric Little, for those of you who have never gone back and read the book or looked at the life of Eric Little in Chariots of Fire, read it. Watch it. He ran for the glory of God. Firemen, oh, I wish firemen, and they're out there, God has His people, would say, I save people in buildings for the glory of God. Bankers, I help manage financial things for the glory of God. I do accounting work for the glory of God. I teach children. I'm a nurse. I'm an accountant, as I just said, or I'm a professor at a university. I drive a truck or work for a transportation company, whatever, for the glory of God. For His name to be great. One more. How about Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar? All of those events, we just keep going. We can go through the Old Testament. We just keep going. All of those, saints, are stories and pictures that the lives of His people are ultimately for the glory of His name. And in our generation, in our day, our lives are for the glory of God, right? Specifically, the glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what we're here for. Oh, dear ones, God will publish His greatness in you in His time. He'll proclaim it. You don't have to force it. Let Him do it. All right, let me close. What is the application for us? Number one, God is ruling the big picture of your life. We're just too caught up in the little picture. We have cars that break down. And we blow college classes or whatever that change the whole course that we're on, and people give us a raw deal, and we have thousands of other illustrations. But God is ruling in the big picture of your life. The whole tapestry, as Edith Schaeffer said, the whole tapestry is a perfect work. It's a perfect composition of what God's doing in your life. Second, God will preserve you in difficult days. So do not fear the schemes of men. Do not fear what men try to do to you and where they try to trump you and change things in your life. God will preserve you. He preserved Joseph. He preserved Daniel. He preserved Elijah. He preserved Moses. And on and on and on. He is with us. He preserved John Bunyan. We'll just lock this guy up. And he wrote the most significant book in the history of the world. Because this is the living, this is God's book. Those guys that put John Bunyan in jail, good job, guys. The kingdom of God has been so enriched. We're going to read it today, right? Tonight. I'd say it lives on. Third, God may very well prosper you. God may very well prosper you, you man, you husband and wife, you single person. God may do it for the advancement of His people and His name. Some of this ties back to the 1 Timothy teaching several weeks ago, months ago, on when God gives people prosperity. It's for the advancement of His people and the care of others and the glory of God. And fourthly, God loves to show His glory in your life. He loves to publish His greatness. Right? His greatness. His unequaledness, His centrality, His preeminence, His majesty, the history of the world is about the glory of God. The history of the space program in the United States of America is about the glory of God. If you follow where I'm going, everything He does is for His glory. So in your life, let Him publish that. Let Him proclaim that to others. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the life of Joseph. I've just been overwhelmed this week thinking of 40 years ago, watching the story, beginning to read it, begin to understand, and here we are today. Back to this story, back to these sections of text in the Bible about the glory of God in the life of Joseph. Or we don't want to stop by just looking at Joseph. We want to see You. We want to see the Lord God, the one that triumphed in this, the one who planned it, purposed it, the one who preserved Him, the one who prospered Him, and then ultimately the one who proclaimed Your greatness in His life, in His people. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for its living truth to give us hope, to encourage our faith, to build us up. help each of the ones here today to take away from this fresh faith and strength in the pilgrimage with God, in our journey with You. Blessed be Your name. Thank You for Your eternal promises that You're with us. We can trust You for great things. We bless You through our Savior. Amen.